Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 278, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. The tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 278.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to John, and thereof chapter 17. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, and thou who hast come here upon this earth, and thou who hast interceded here in this world for thy church, and thou who dost yet intercede as that great high priest before the face of thy Father in that place of glory, as we have read that thou art no more in the world, but thou didst leave yet a church that is still in the world. And thou knowest that they yet need to be kept the same as in the times of old. That thou may grant us then also a prayer to pray, and send forth the power of thy Holy Spirit, who likewise can help all of our infirmities, and who maketh intercession for thy people with groanings that cannot be uttered. But we need to be given a prayer by thee, and for thou knowest that we are prayerless people by nature, and of ourselves then we have no prayer except that thou dost show to us our need for the first time or by renewal. Lord, that thou may work it in the heart and in the life of each and every one of us, that we may be taught to pray. For thou didst not pray for these alone, thou didst say, but also for them which should believe on thy name through their word. O Lord, that word that still does go forth by thy Spirit in the days in which we may live. Oh, that thou may bring more into thy church, that there may be also in our days those that may believe through thy word. And when thy Spirit may raise us from the dead, and when we may receive a true cry unto our Maker and our Creator, and when we cannot live as we have been born anymore, and when all things here below do become for us vanity and vexation of spirit, O Lord, that thou may instruct each and every one, young and old, in these ways. O thou knowest that we are never going to seek thee, except that thou dost art the first one, and that thou extendest thy arm from above, to take us by heart and by hand, and to lead us back unto thee. O Lord, we beseech thee, and that thou may do it for thy great name's sake, also in the days in which we live with our children, and when we hear so little, but thou knowest the inmost recesses of the heart. And then it is true, we cannot expect the little children already to be born speaking, but wilt thou give that there may be new births among us, and that there also may be a growing in grace and in the knowledge of thy dear Son. Oh, that that time may come, as we have heard it in this morning hour, that we may be cut off from every work from our own side, and that all our righteousnesses may become as filthy rags, and that there may be no way for us anymore, because then there is place for thy only begotten Son. O Lord, thou didst say unto thy people, unto thy servants, go out into the highways and into the hedges, and call in hither the blind and the lame and the deaf and the dumb. O, so thy house should be full. And then it is not the wise and the prudent of this world, but it shall be of those that have nothing in themselves. O Lord, we beseech thee, make us such young and old. Show to us the wretchedness of our hearts. Show to us the stable that is within, not only for the first time, but also by renewal. Because then thy word that becomes so open, oh, then there is such a place for thy only begotten Son. And then he becomes to us white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Thou knowest the hearts, Lord, could it please thee to open thy dear Son in the midst of such hearts in this season wherein we are. And because thy servant did say that it was the 10th hour, and now we may commemorate it in an outward way, but we need to experience it also in the heart, each and every one of us. Shall we ever know that joy and that exaltation that is in the heart on that day of Christmas? Lord, that thou mayst speak unto thy people, who are sitting in the darkness, that they may be given to know by a word from thee, that it is not only for others, but that also unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, how the heart will exalt thee, Lord. How thy name will be magnified in thy only begotten and beloved Son. Oh, that thou may remember thy children. Thou knowest those that desire to yearn to drink from thy fountain. Oh, that thou may give them a little to drink once again. Because when we have once tasted of those waters, and know something of the quenching of that thirst, oh Lord, then it shall be, even though our hearts are so often cleaving to all that is here below, so that we wonder whether there was ever a beginning in our life. And yet there is a knowledge of what has taken place. And then it cannot be denied what thou hast shown unto us. But then there is a need that thou wouldst come for the second or for the third time, or that thou wouldst renew it, that thou wouldst confirm it. O Lord, wilt thou send forth thy Spirit in the hearts and the lives of each and every one of thy children, that they may be drawn once again as in the days of old, and that they may be given, that the meek may be given to eat and be satisfied in thy house of prayer, that thy word may have free course. Lord, look upon the whole congregation. Be with those that mourn. The children, the grandchildren, thou knowest where that they are. Oh, that thou wouldst take of these ways and sanctify them unto the hearts, because we are not able to break our hard and stony hearts. And then we can mourn for a little while our loved ones here upon this world. And we need to be strengthened by thee. But oh, we need to be given to feel that missing of thee in our life. And then there are those that may be able to tell that when it was this one or that one that was taken away, and that the Lord, He has taken His word and He has brought it into my heart in that time when my heart was made soft by Him. O Lord, that Thou may bless and the means that are used. Remember all those that are old and ailing, those that are in the nursing home. Lord, Thou knowest each and every one of them. And then we heard there is also one who is so very low. Oh, that Thou may remember her in this time. Lord, Thou hast not been a stranger unto her in her life. Oh, could it please Thee to visit her with Thy salvation, and that Thou may make it an easy way for her when the time is come to lay down the sin, that sinful flesh. Oh, that Thou may make an opening for her, O Lord, and that Thou may remember all that are there in that place. Lord, Thou knowest the fears that can live in their hearts. When we have become old and we have heard and we have known so well what is necessary in our life, and when we must say that our life that has been as a shadow, oh, that it is but few days, and it has been full of evil. But I have also not that which I need to live, and not that which I need to die. And then with one foot already in the grave, the fears can be so mounting. Oh, that Thou may visit them, O Lord, all together from above. And that Thy Spirit may be given to go forth also in that place, for there is nothing that is too hard or too wonderful for Thee. And wilt Thou teach us all to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Also the young people and the children, when the callings they have been coming also unto them. O Lord, that Thou may sanctify those callings, and that they we may not forget so easily because of the busyness of our life here below. Wilt Thou give that Thy word may be brought to the ends of the earth, and by those who are truly called and converted and sent forth by Thee. Oh, do increase their number, could it please Thee, in the time that is before us. Remember the students and the instructors all together. Give them a little rest in these weeks. Give them to eat a little also, which is necessary also for them. Wilt Thou be with our government, in all the levels thereof? Thou knowest what is necessary. When Satan is bringing his devices against us, also as a school, Lord, that Thou may remember us in Thy mercy, and that Thou wouldst arise as Thou alone art able to care for us. Oh, that we may not be swept away with all that Satan does try to destroy Thy church with. Oh, Lord, then we can see that the days of persecution, they cannot be so far away. Oh, thus far, then we are tolerated. But then we can see that there is coming a day that we shall be tolerated no more. O Lord, who shall be able to stand of us in that day? Oh, then we shall need to have been born again. Oh, then we shall need that steadfastness that can only be given by Thee who can keep us. Oh, we beseech Thee then that we may be given an earnestness about our life and about our soul that is traveling to a great and to a never-ending eternity. Lord, look upon us then also in this afternoon hour. Grant unto us all that is necessary to bring, but also to hear Thy word. Oh, that thou may give the unction of thy Holy Spirit, and that thy word may also receive a place in our hearts, and that we may go forth from this place with a blessing out of thy heavenly store, whatever that is and is deemed good and right in thy holy sight. Do forgive and take away all of our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 53, stanzas 1 through 5. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me in the quiet waters by. The last collection today is for the Canadian Lord's Day Association, and we remind the catechism class of Mr. Moons and that there will be yet one catechism class in this year, this afternoon after the service. Psalter 53, all the stanzas. beloved congregation who is able to express the benefits that Ruth has received upon her marriage unto Boaz. She was before a stranger. She was before a Moabitess. She was before a poor widow. But it is in one moment. It was upon the marriage unto Boaz that she has become the wife of a very great and a very rich farmer in Israel. And in that day, he also became her protector. In that day, he also became her preserver. And that by an oath that was sworn before men and before God. So that there was nothing anymore that was lacking in that life of Ruth, but that her whole life that was bound up in that life of Boaz, who is able to express what great benefits are bound up for that church of God in that greater Boaz. They are in themselves wretched. They are in themselves poor. They are in themselves miserable. But in him, then they are receiving blessings that are not able to be described by that human tongue. We read in God's word, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, what God hath prepared for them that love him." What vanity that we may seek in this world may be compared to the blessings that those may receive who receive them out of that blessed Son of God. Do we ever have an eye for them? Even maybe a little bit, young people, that we may see that everything in this world and that is passing away. Jacob, he called that place Peniel. What was it? It means the face of God. Why? Because he says, "I have seen the Lord face to face, and my life is preserved." Is that not something? To be able to see the face of God, that means that that face of God that was not away from, that was toward Jacob, and then his very life itself that was preserved by the Lord, and so that he had need no more of any fear. Oh, is it any wonder that church that is praying unto the Lord, that the Lord would remember me with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people, that they say, "Oh Lord, visit me with thy salvation." Is that also sometimes our cry, our prayer? After hearing our instructors explain how that the Spirit of the Lord is instructing a man in his misery, then they have opened to us how that he is also revealing unto them his only begotten Son. Thus we can hear of that revelation in Lord's Day 6. And in Lord's Day 7, then we read how that soul is receiving that object of faith, So those two Lord's Days, Lord's Day 6 and Lord's Day 7, they are so closely connected with one another as God's people, because there is no receiving of Christ without Christ being opened up, without Him being revealed. That is impossible. But when Christ is also revealed to their soul, then there is also nothing else possible but that that soul is receiving Him. Do we know something? Do we know the smallest part of these dealings that our fathers speak of in our Heidelberg Catechism for our own hearts? Because it is by these manifestations of Himself that the Lord is beginning to open up to our soul a little bit of those riches that are to be received in and through His only begotten Son by little glimpses. And so our fathers, they are beginning now to lay this out already. In Lord's Day 9 and in Lord's Day 10, they are concerning God the Father. And actually, Lord's Day 9 and Lord's Day 10, they are two Lord's Days that are also so intimately connected with one another that really they cannot be separated from one another. Because really it begins in Lord's Day 9 and it continues in Lord's Day 10. But we understand that there is much substance here to be spoken about today. We wish with the Lord's help to begin Lord's Day 9. And next time, if all is well, to finish it with Lord's Day 10. Thus, Lord's Day 9. Question 26. What believest thou when thou sayest, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Answer, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth, with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by His eternal counsel and providence, is, for the sake of Christ His Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt but that He will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. And further, that He will make whatever evils He sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage, for He is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. So far, our Lord's Day, which speaks about faith in God the Father, which we wish to consider first, God the Father of His Son, and second, God the Father of His children. And next time, the Lord willing, to say something about God as the Father of His creation, and what comfort that is for those that are His children. God, a faith in God the Father. First, God the Father of His Son. And second, God the Father of His children. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That is, congregation, the very first article of our creed, of the Apostles' Creed. And then we may say that we have heard of the fact that there are three persons in that Holy Trinity, children, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then we may ask, why is it that we begin with the Father? And you say, well, because that is now the first person of that Holy Trinity. That is right. And how is he first? Is he first in greatness? Is he first in honor? You will say no, because we have heard that in greatness and in honor, that those three persons, they are equal, that they are co-equal. And yet we read that there is an order. And where does that order then come from? Well, we heard that each one has his manner of subsistence. And so the Father, we heard, he exists in and of himself. That the Son, he is begotten by the Father. And that the Spirit is proceeding from the Father and the Son. And this is now the basis of the order of that Holy Trinity. That since the Son, he is begotten of the Father, and then the Father, he is first in this order. And so we may speak of the first and the second and the third person of that Holy Trinity. And thus, when our creed that says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, then he speaks about that first person as him out of whom are all things. That is, as the cause of all things. And in this sense, then that first person of the Trinity, he is also called Father. Thus, in the first place, our fathers say that he is the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How is that? Well, if we read in Psalm 2, then we can read that he says, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Just what that begetting is, that is something that we do not know, that we cannot enter into, neither do we need to enter into it, because if we could comprehend the begetting of the Son, then we will be able to understand the very generation of God himself. But that is above and beyond our comprehension. But there is one thing that we may know, and that is that this begetting, that is not speaking about the human nature of Christ. Because we can read that Christ took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So when Christ has taken upon him a body, then it is not the generation of the Son, because there was no beginning of this generation. And that is not something that the Son takes upon himself, but he is begotten of his Father. Thus, there is no beginning of the Son in his divine nature, although there was a beginning of his human nature. That is what we hope to commemorate children in this week. That is the beginning of the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he has taken upon himself something that he did not have from eternity. But he has had from eternity always a divine nature. You say, how is it then that it says, this day have I begotten thee? And that is true. However, we must remember that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. And not only so, but it is indeed this day. How? Well, because the generation of the Son is not something that just has taken place, but the generation of the Son is that which continues to take place. That is something which was ever and is and always shall be. Thus, no beginning and no ending. It is because of this begetting of the Son that we read that that Son, he is the brightness of the glory of his Father, and that he is the express image of his person. Thus, the person, we say there are three persons in that Trinity. The person of the Father is expressed by the Son. He is the express image of his person. Thus, the person of the Father is revealed in that Son, in order that the person of that Father may be known unto men. You say, what may we know of the Father from the Son? We may know his will. When we may know the coming of the Son into the world for the salvation of sinners, then we may know the will of the Father. And we may know the Father also in his works, that he may send forth also his Son. We may know something of his decree, but we may know more than this. Because the Lord may give to us something of a glimpse, even into that relation that there is between the persons of the Trinity themselves, that is actually unfathomable. How may we know this? Well, we may know this by the names that he is calling himself. That he calls the first person, he calls himself Father, and the second person, he calls him his Son. What is that? That is for the purpose of revelation. Because God does not need names for himself. There is only one purpose for the names of God. And they are to reveal himself, to show himself unto men. And then he does not just say, first person, and second person. No, but he says, Father and Son. Thus, why? Well, because we know what Father and Son are. And because we may learn something of him through the nature that natural knowledge that we have here below. You see how Satan, he attempts to overturn the complete order of things and also the knowledge of God Himself in the destruction of the family. Because when there are children that must be brought up in families that have two mothers or two fathers, then they do not understand any more by experience what it means to have a father. And so when we know it not in this world, then the Word of God in the revelation of Himself also becomes strange to us. And then there is even a greater veil which is thrown over our eyes. Children, what a wonder if the Lord may give to us that we may have a father, because not everyone has a father anymore. Do we remember those that do not have a father and that do not have a mother? A father, he has an interest. He has an interest, a great interest in his son. Why? His son proceeds from him. His son that is his own image. And thus a father, he has a jealousy over his son. For the honor of his son. And when we speak about God the Father and God the Son, what is now the greatest work of the Son of God? That is redemption. That is that for which He will be exalted to the highest throughout all eternity. When was that redemption of Christ first made known in the world by the Father? You say that was already in the very beginning. That was already in the third chapter of the Bible. And why is that? Well, because of that jealousy of that Father for the honor of his Son. That greatest honor that son should receive, then if it were possible that we would speak about impatience in God, but that of course is not possible. But God the Father, He did not wait, no. But already in the very beginning of this world, then He is declaring that glory of the Son. And then we see how that the Father has sent His angels. Children, we have heard something of that. When those shepherds, they have heard that angel speaking when the Lord Jesus was born in this world. And when the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, then the angels, they have come again and they have spoken of His resurrection. And also when He has ascended into heaven, and we can read of His promise that He shall so come in like manner with all the holy angels when He comes again to judge the quick and the dead. The Lord Jesus said to the Jews, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing." But He says, "It is my Father, yes, that is that interest that He has in His Son. It is my Father that honoreth me." But then He said to those Pharisees, "But you do dishonor me." Oh, how great must be the wrath of the Father against those who dishonor His own Son. Against those who have no need for His Son. Against those who can cast the name of His Son unto the wind. Father still holds His peace. But the Father will not always hold His peace against those who despise His Son. Read Psalm 2. David, he says, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way when His anger is kindled but a little. O, He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord, He shall have them in derision, every one that does despise His Son. Thus, that relation between that Father and the Son, for the interest of that Son, for the welfare of that Son. Because Peter, he thought he sought the welfare of that Son too, when he has taken out of its sheath in that garden his sword, and he is going to fight for the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what did the Lord Jesus say to him? He says, put thy sword into thy sheath. Thinkest thou not that I cannot pray unto my Father? And He will give me 12 legions of angels? But how then can the Scriptures be fulfilled? O Christ, as the Son, He knew the interest of His Father, even as you, young people, as you may know that you may feel the interest of your Father, then Christ, He could go to His Father. Have we not read it out of the Word of God? Do we not read when the Lord Jesus was in His greatest distress in that garden? How that He has also gone to His Father. But, young people, children, in His request that was with such a holy submission to His Father, He had a request. If this cup may pass from me, but immediately He says, not my will, but thy will be done. Oh, the interest of His Father. But His Father, He looked for His highest glory that was in the redemption of His people. And that could not be without Him to go through that way that He has Himself desired to go through for the salvation of His people. We can read in God's Word also of another expression, a very special expression, and that does speak about the great love of this Father for His Son. And what is that? Well, He is called His only begotten Son. And now, fathers, we love all our children. We hope that is so, that there is no favorite among our children that was not good. When Jacob gave to Joseph a coat of many colors, because he has caused jealousy among those brethren. I think we love all our children, but children, you must remember that what is the best for us is not necessarily the same as our brother or our sister. No, it is not what we think to be the same, but it is what Father and what Mother think to be the best. Or will you take also that before the Lord on your knees? But now, the greatness of that love of the Father to His Son, we read that He is called the only begotten of His Father. And we love all our sons, yes. We love all our children, but if we would have now just one son, if we would have now just one child, well, then we say the love of that child that will be so very, very great. We would not begrudge a father or a mother, that very, very special love for an only begotten son. And so it is described in the Holy Word of God that we may receive a little entrance into what that is, because God the Father, He spoke also of it in the baptism of His Son when He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," and in His transfiguration again, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And therefore He says, "Hear ye Him. Hear ye Him." Or are we also as well pleased with that Son of God as His Father is well pleased in Him? And do we therefore also hear that Son? Let us sing Psalter 243, 2 and 5. "My chosen servant I appoint, with holy oil His head anoint. My hand with Him shall still remain, my arm His strength shall well sustain. My arm His strength shall well sustain." 2 and 5 of Psalter 243.
Thank you.
congregation when the Lord appeared unto Mary Magdalene after his resurrection. And then he said to her, "Go tell my brethren that I ascend unto my Father." That would be difficult for the disciples, because surely they would miss the Lord Jesus here upon this world. But the Lord Jesus had at the same time for them a great consolation, because he did not stop there. But he said to them, "I ascend unto my Father and to your Father. I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God, who is rightly able to comprehend the greatness of this blessing that is coming out of that mediatorial work of that only begotten Son of God, my Father and your Father." Our creed that says, "I believe in God the Father Almighty." If you read later on, then it says, "I believe in Holy Catholic Church." Thus, I believe in the Father, I believe in the Son, I believe in Holy Catholic Church. And why? Because that confession of that Trinity, that is a personal confession. And that is what we read in the answer of our fathers in this question and answer. That is our second thought. God the Father of his children, our fathers say, "What believest thou when thou sayest, I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth," that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is, for the sake of Christ, his Son, my God and my Father. Indeed, every man had God as his Father in the creation before the fall. Because we hope to see that, if all is well, next time, that he is the Father of the creation. And of course, he remains the Father of creation and the Father of every person in the world in that sense. However, whom have we chosen in our fall? Have we not chosen another Father? What did the Lord Jesus say to the Pharisees? It is, congregation, too awful to say it, is it not? That he said to them, "Ye are of your father the devil." And can it be that it is both? Or must it be now one or the other? O congregation, whom have we chosen? Do we not see whom we have chosen in our own father, Adam? And who do we choose? Still yet each and every day, that he may be a father unto us. But God becomes the Father again of his children, not now merely by virtue of that creation But he is becoming the father of his children by virtue of redemption. And that now is very different. Why? Because that is not merely speaking of him as being our first cause. But no, there is much more in that now. Because now they become children by virtue of his Son, in whom there is a special relation between himself and his Father. So our fathers write, for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father. Does that not now include much more than him to be a father only by virtue of the creation? Oh, how close. How close was that church, is that church brought unto the Father? When they are united unto him through his only begotten Son, who is one of the very persons of the Godhead himself. So Christ has prayed, as we heard it read, to his Father that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one and in us. Who is able to comprehend this? What a relation that God has desired to bring his people into. What a relation with himself. That was an eternal purpose. That was a purpose and a decree from before the creation of the world, that could not be brought into that same relation with him through a covenant of works. Then they could not be brought into that same blessed relation as he is bringing them through that covenant of grace for the sake of Christ his Son. What does John say? He says, behold, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like unto him, for we shall see him as he is. An incomprehensible place where the Lord is bringing his creature into union and communion with himself. That is how high that the Lord has made us, that man would be even capable of coming into such a relation with himself. For the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father. We do not read of this relation until after Lord's Day 6 and Lord's Day 7. Thus our fathers do not speak about this relation in the way of experience until after they have spoken of that revelation of the Son to the soul of his people and the receiving of him by a true and a living faith. And why not? Well, because it is in that revelation that that the church of God is beginning to receive a little entrance into that relation in which the Lord is bringing His people. Can they then immediately say and call God to be their Father? Young people, how many you will hear that speak of this in such an easy way, but it is actually so unnatural because that does not belong unto a little child. And yet, that fact is there. And it is through that revelation of His Son that little glimpses of this relation are beginning to appear unto that people, that they may begin in a little way to experience something of what it actually means to be a child. In Christ, an angry judge, He becomes a reconciled Father to His people. And in Him, they begin to receive a little entrance into what that is. Because when Christ, He is opened up to a sinner, then He is given to see for the first time in His life something of the approachability of God. Even though he has sinned against Him, congregation, is not that which belongs unto a father? Is that not why Manasseh he is found praying in the prison? Why is it that that man in the temple, he did not only smite upon his breast, but he also cried unto the Lord? Because when there is just a little sight of who that Christ is and that purpose for which he has come, then immediately then our soul sees something, how that it is possible to approach unto God again. No, then it is not as Sinai, when they have had to flee from that mountain for the sake of Christ His Son, my God, and my Father. Congregation, it is one thing to speak about the Father of someone else, but it is another thing to speak about my own Father. And this is now something that needs to be known. It needs to be known by each and every one of us. Children, boys and girls, by you too. Because you have a father here on the earth, but do you also have a father in heaven? You know we have to stand before our judge. There is no love, there is no mercy that is to be found in a judge. But that love and that mercy, that is the character that is found in a father. Oh, how far that we have departed from God in paradise. But how close that a man is brought back to God through His only begotten Son. We could not have fallen further away from God in our deep fall. But we cannot come closer to God than we can come in His only begotten Son. O congregation, a man does not climb a ladder into heaven. Is that your experience? Do you say with Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But how can such people receive God again as their Father? Well, we read that Christ, He sat and He ate with publicans and with sinners. Or He came to reconcile such unto His Father, that He may say to them, My Father and your Father. Then He did not call the righteous, but He called, He said, sinners to repentance. Hannah, she says, He raised the poor out of the dust, and He lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to do what with him? To set him among princes, and to make him to inherit the throne of glory. Oh, from what a depth! Unto what a height that cannot be climbed. No, that is the work of that only begotten Son of God. Bunyan, he says, I saw that there was a way to hell from the gates of heaven. But let God's children speak. When the Lord has opened something of His only begotten Son of God, what they have seen in that moment, that they have seen that there was a way to heaven, even from the gates of hell. David, he says, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings. O congregation, how much is contained in this? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. Oh, how little we realize the preciousness of this time in which we are living. When we are going from day to day, and when we are seeking all the emptiness and all the vanity that is in this world, and when there is such a precious substance and such a precious portion that is to be received as long as we are still alive upon this earth. Oh, we are content to be a child of the devil. Really, can we say it any different? When the Lord, He is inviting us that we may be a child of Himself. Because what does He say? He says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, that is the way. That is the way of repentance unto the free remission of all our sins. Oh, that is the way that is open. That is to the chiefest of the sinners. None too great, but that time, oh, that time that is hastening away, wherein this blessing, this greatest blessing that can be received by men in this world, the time that is hastening away, that God would become our Father. Oh, the Lord, open our eyes to show that Father whom we have left in our creation, and to give us to see that place wherein we have come, or to from that swine pit, that we may say, I will arise and I will go to my Father, and I will say to him, I am no more worthy, because I have sinned against heaven and sinned against thee, no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Oh, come, see, congregation. See what he would do. Oh, see what he would do when you would still be even a great way off. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in thy truth. O grant us eyes to see that we have left thee and that portion that we have forsaken. But there is a way back again. O Lord, it may be proclaimed to each and every one of us out of thy word day after day. But we have no place to receive it unless thou makest it. But they are blessings, and they are so far above all the greatest riches in this world. Oh, how our eyes need to be opened. Lord, take away the scales, take away the veil, and grant us open eyes and light in the midst of all our wretchedness and in all of our darkness. Wilt thou bring us safely to our places? Grant us what is necessary in the week to come. Supply for all our needs and all our labors. Remember our young people and our children. When they have a little break from school, wilt thou watch over and protect from a sudden and an unprepared death? Bring us with desire in thy house in this week also, when we may commemorate thy coming in the flesh. Wilt thou supply for the catechism class? Wilt thou look upon young and old together for Jesus' sake? Amen. 283:2-3. Good is the Lord, and full of kind compassion, most slow to anger, plenteous in love, and what follows in 2 and 3 of Psalter 283. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.